It's not amazing how we can sing. There's a lot of technical things required in order to sing. Only God could have given us the ability to. The end times, why does the wicked want to destroy everything? It's easy to destroy. In the book of Deuteronomy, the 32nd chapter, the 22nd verse, actually, I'll back up in verse 20, and he said, I will hide my face from them, speaking about Israel. I will see what their end shall be. They are a very froward generation, children in whom is no faith. They have moved me to jealousy by that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those that are not a people, as Gentiles. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. For a fire is kindled in mine anger, and shall burn into the lowest hell, and shall consume the earth with her increase, and set on fire the foundations of the mountains. I will heap mischiefs upon them. I will spend mine arrows upon them. They shall be burnt with hunger and devoured with the burning heat and with bitter destruction. I will also send the teeth of beasts upon them and the poison of serpents of the dust. We're studying the end times to prove what we just read there in Deuteronomy. We see in Revelation, today we're going to look at chapters 8 and chapter 9. He sends, well, first of all, as when the seals began to be opened, the peace was taken off the earth and man killed man. Then God starts sending his wrath, sends people to the caves and the dens. Revelation chapter 8, verse 1, and when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven about the space of half an hour. Now, before this time, they were praising the Lamb, the elders casting their crowns before him. Great joy. Now there's silence. Amazing silence. Reading in Clarence Larkin's book on dispensational truth, the way that the seals work, first there's seals, the seventh one explodes into seven more trumpets, which explodes into seven more. There's great suspense during this half hour. Even John took note of how long this silence was, when previously there had been great joy. Now there's great suspense, silence. And I saw seven angels which stood before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. And another angel came and stood at the altar, having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense which came out of the prayer with the prayers of the saints ascended up before God out of the angel's hand. And the angel took the censer and filled it with fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake. And the seven angels which had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Now, we looked last week at the tribulation saints that perished off the earth during the Great Tribulation. It ain't over yet. Verse 14 of the seventh chapter, there was a number that no man can number. He mentions in verse 9, but in verse 14 it tells us who they are. These are they which came out of the Great Tribulation and washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. It's going to get worse. And that's a vast number. No man could number it. Then the trumpets begin to sound. Who is this angel? Well, we think of Christ because of he's our mediator. We read about him in especially the book of, well, Timothy talks about the one mediator between God and man, but we also read about him in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, I believe it's the 7th chapter. Talks about his role as our mediator. In chapter 9, verse 25 of chapter 7, he is able to save them to the uttermost forevermore that come to God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for him. But I believe at this time his role as mediator has been laid aside because he's at the judgment seat of Christ. Still Christ, but not necessarily as a role of mediator, as the lion. He's sending the wrath of God, is what I believe we're seeing here. And Revelation is difficult. John chapter 5, the Gospel of John, the 5th chapter and the 22nd verse, a very well-known verse, John 5:22, "For the Father judgeth no man, but hath committed all judgment unto the Son." As figuratively speaking, he's laid aside his garments as a mediator. He's sending forth his wrath upon the wicked now as the lion. Is Revelation literal or spiritual? Well, as all interpretation of the Bible is, if it makes good sense, seek no other sense, for all other sense is nonsense. When it says one wears his heart on his sleeve, it's not worded that way in the writings of Solomon. Now, you know, that's speaking figuratively. But the revelation is the unveiling, not the concealing. Were the plagues of Egypt real? Of course they were real. It gives similar plagues in this chapter we're looking at today. In the book of Micah, you look through all the minor prophets and all the prophets together, and you find a lot of instances where it's speaking about the day of the Lord. Micah chapter 7, verse 15. "According to the days of the coming out of the land of Egypt will I show unto him marvelous things. The nations shall see and be confounded at all their might. They shall lay their hand upon their mouth, their ears shall be deaf. They shall lick the dust like a serpent. They shall move out of their holes like worms in the earth. They shall be afraid of the Lord our God and shall fear because of thee. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity, that passeth by transgression, the remnant of his heritage, and retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy? But when his wrath is sent," I think it's going to be fierce. "The wheels of God's wrath grindeth exceeding slow, but they grind exceeding thin," I think is the way it's worded. Are these literal trumpets? Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 12 through 17. "And it shall come to pass at that time that I will search Jerusalem with candles and punish the men that are settled on their lees, comfortable, and say in their heart, the Lord will not do good, neither will he do evil. He will do what he said he will do. Therefore their goods shall become a booty, and their houses a desolation. They shall also build houses, but not inhabit them. They shall inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards, but not drink the wine thereof. The great day of the Lord is near, it is near, and hasteth greatly. Even the voice of the day of the Lord, the Almighty, the mighty man shall cry there bitterly. Now, we haven't looked at this passage in Scripture yet. There's many of them in Scripture that refer to the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord, excuse me, verse 15, that day is a day of wrath, a day of trouble and distress, a day of wasteness and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of thick clouds and thick darkness, a day of the trumpet and alarm against the fenced cities, against the high towers. And I will bring distress upon men, that they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord, and their blood shall be poured out as dust, and their flesh as dung. That's scary. The plagues in Egypt, the hail, and there was no doubt an intense electrical storm. It's in the book of Exodus, the 9th chapter. But in Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no storm. God's children were safe. When the plagues hit Egypt, it destroyed their food supply. Well, that's what it's going to do to the earth during this great time of trouble. The fruit trees are going to be destroyed. Water is going to be turned to blood. The water is going to be polluted. Back to the book of Revelation, the 8th chapter. The first angel sounded in verse 7, and there followed hail and fire mingled with blood, and they were cast upon the earth, and the third part of the trees was burned up, and all green grass was burned up. Now, if you're speaking figuratively, well, you have to have a figurative grass and a figurative fire. This is literal. And the second angel sounded, and as it were, a great mountain burning with fire was cast into the sea, and a third part of the sea became blood. Now, there's some like to explain it away figuratively. Sounds very literal to me. Literal water. As it were a great mountain burning with fire. What is it? Comet, asteroid. I mentioned here a while back the one called a Popka that's going to come near the Earth in 2029, they're talking about. Third part of the sea became blood. And you think about what that's going to do. If you're out there in a boat and the water has turned to blood, you're probably not going to live very long. Yeah, it's going to be very difficult to survive. And the third angel sounded, and there fell a great star from heaven, burning as it were a lamp, and it fell on the third part of the rivers and upon the fountains of waters. And the name of the star is called wormwood, bitter. And the third part of the waters became wormwood because many men died of the waters. Tells why they died, because the waters were made bitter. And the fourth angel sounded, and the third part of the sun was smitten, and the third part of the moon, and the third part of the stars, so the third part of them was darkened, and the day shone not for a third part of it, and the night likewise. There was a plague of darkness in the Exodus. Darkness that could be felt. God can do that. And I beheld and heard as an angel flying through the midst of heaven saying with a loud voice, woe, woe, woe to the inhabitants of the earth by reason of their voices and the trumpet of the three angels which are yet to sound. It's going to get worse. The marine life would have died. Like I say, that wreaked havoc upon the shipping industry. Is this a prayer of the saints? Destroy the wicked. We're not told what the prayers of the saints were. We're just told that they're answered. And all those, think about the Dark Ages. how they were mistreated and brutally murdered. There were prayers against those people. It's going to be answered. Like I say, the sea that they're probably talking about could be the Mediterranean Sea. It could be worldwide ocean vessels. I mean, they're all over the world. Shipping is a huge industry now. Could be like a tidal wave, all this coming up at once. All these judgments are coming from the Almighty. Whereas man, as I mentioned earlier, was fighting man, now God is fighting against man. Luke chapter 21. Of course, Luke tells us a lot about the end times, at least to prepare for it. Luke chapter 21, verse 11. And great earthquake, well, verse 10, nation shall rise against nation and kingdoms against kingdom. That's man against man. And great earthquakes shall be in diverse places. This comes from Almighty. And famines and pestilences and fearful sights and great sights shall there be from heaven. Matthew speaks about it. Getting back to, was that a asteroid, a comet? We don't know. It says kind of like a lamp. Could be a comet. Comets kind of look like a torch. But the main word is it's called wormwood. Wormwood is a bitter shrub in Palestine. Something that, like an asteroid strategically located, could wipe out a lot of business, a lot of shipping. Like over there in the Persian Gulf, there's so many ships that come through there because of oil. Something hits right in there, it's going to shut a lot of things down. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 18. Lest there should be among you a man or a woman or family or tribe whose heart turneth away this day from the Lord our God and go and serve the gods of those nations, lest there should be among you a root that beareth gall and wormwood. When you think about all that goes on, as I mentioned earlier, during the Great Tribulation, what is their goal? Why are they out to destroy man? That's the wicked. We read in the book of Proverbs chapter 8. Verse 35, for whosoever findeth me findeth life, and shall obtain favor of the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All that hate me love death. That's the wicked. They want to destroy. I mean, God loved the world and sent his only begotten Son to save man. But it left up to man. Unless God intervenes, man will destroy himself. Man brings destruction. And in this case, you have the wicked warring against God. In the book of Ezekiel, the 47th chapter, the great millennial temple, produces something that's of great interest. A cleansing supply of water. Ezekiel 47, verse 1, afterwards he brought me again to the door of the house, and behold, waters issued out from under the threshold of the house eastward, and for the forefront of the house stood toward the east, and the waters came down from under the right side of the house and the south side of the altar. over in verse 8, it speaks about these same waters. Then he said to me, these waters issued toward the east country to go down into the desert and to go down into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the waters shall be healed. These are a healing water, a healing stream. That's what God does. The wicked destroy everything. In the days of Joshua, we read where the sun stood still. Hezekiah was given 15 more years, and the sundial went backward. Balaam's donkey spoke. We have all these things, and we have no problem believing that they literally happened. Well, that's the same way these things going on during the Great Tribulation, they're going to happen. In the book of Isaiah, the 28th chapter, there was a covenant made with Israel and the man of sin. Now, as far as that man of sin, we're not done with him yet. There's also a beast and a false prophet to cover. Verse 14 of Isaiah 28, wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with the death, and with hell are we at agreement. They're not going to take the Lord at his word. They're going to fight tooth and nail. One thing about that, when he does convert them, everybody will know it. It'll be to his glory. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When this overflowing scourge shall pass through, and that's what we're studying, it shall not come unto us. They're going to get by unscathed. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. It's obvious that stone is Christ. Judgment also will I lay to the line, and righteousness to the plummet. And the hell shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the waters shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant and your with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. God's not going to miss anything. Getting back to the trumpets, there's another passage in Scripture that sounds a lot like what we're studying. It's in the book of Joel, the second chapter, which is a very fitting passage. If I can find it. Joel chapter 2. Let's read the entire chapter. Joel 2 and 1, blow the trumpet in Zion and sound an alarm in my holy mountain. Let all the inhabitants of the land tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and gloominess, a day of clouds and a thick darkness. As the morning spread upon the mountain, a great people and a strong. There hath not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it, even to the years of many generations. A fire devoureth before them, and behind them a flame burneth. The land is as the land as the Garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is as the appearance of horses and of horsemen, so that shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains shall they leap, and the noise of a fire, or the flame of fire that devoureth the stubble, as a strong people set in battle array. Before their face the people shall be much pained, all faces shall gather blackness. They shall run like mighty men, they shall climb the wall like men of war. And they shall march every one on his way, and they shall not break their ranks. Neither shall one thrust another. They shall walk every one in his path, and when they shall fall on the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall run to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter into the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executeth his word, and the day of the Lord is great and very terrible. Who can abide it? Therefore also now, saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart, and with fasting, and with weeping, and with mourning, and rend your hearts and not your garments, and turn unto the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repenteth him of the evil. Who knoweth if he will return and repent, or leave a blessing behind him, even a meat offering and a drink offering unto the Lord your God? Blow the trumpet in Zion, sanctify fast, call a solemn assembly. Gather the people, sanctify the congregation, assemble the elders, gather the children and those that suck the breast. Let the bridegroom go forth out of his chamber, and the bride out of her closet. Let the priests and the ministers of the Lord weep between the porch and the altar, and let them say, Spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thine inheritance to reproach, that the heathen should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the people, Where is their God? Back to Revelation. As the first four trumpets were aimed at the ecology, that's the greenery, the water, the trees, the woes are aimed directly at people, those that are not sealed. Three more woes yet to go. Revelation chapter 9, verse 1, And the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven, unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. Now the key's all blown, we know, from the first chapter of Revelation to Christ. He opens and no man shuts. He shuts and no man opens. But this is a star that fell from heaven. Over in the 12th chapter, speaking about the red dragon, in verse 4 of chapter 12, and his tail drew the third part of the stars from heaven and did cast them to the earth. That's the angelic beings, what we believe, that sided with Lucifer when he transgressed. Back to Revelation. And verse 2 of chapter 9, And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, and the smoke as the smoke of a great furnace, and the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the great pit, which would account for why you had one-third of the day. Lost a lot of light there because of the darkness, the clouds, the smoke. And there came up out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing nor any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill men, but that they should be tormented 5 months, and their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he striketh a man. And it's interesting, these drones, how much they look like a scorpion. Could be them. My guess, it's a literal creature, just like it reads. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And the shapes of the locusts were likened to horses prepared unto battle, and on their heads were as it were crowns of gold, and their faces were as faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, and their teeth was as the teeth of lions. They had breastplates, and as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots, many horses running to battle. And they had tails likened to scorpions that were sting, and there were stings in their tails. And their power was to hurt men 5 months. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit, whose name in the Hebrew tongue is Abaddon, but in the Greek tongue, his name is Apollyon. And the footnote there says, a destroyer. Doing what they do best. One woe is past, and behold, there come two woes more hereafter. And the sixth angel sounded, and I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel which had the trumpet, loose the four angels which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Making way for the kings of the east, as it says in the 16th chapter. As we move on. The four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of the men. And the number of the army of the horsemen, that's who the highway was made for, the kings of the east, were 200,000, 200 million, and I heard the number of them. And thus I saw horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire and jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of lions, and out of their mouth issued fire and smoke and brimstone. By these three was the third part of men killed, by the fire and by the smoke, by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths. And their power is in their mouths and in their tails. For in their tails were likened to serpents, had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that is, that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. They're called a plague. And if it's a plague, it's not the drones, it's like I'm saying. They had a king, a destroyer. That was who was behind what's going on, the destruction. Over in the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel chapter 26. Of course, Ezekiel 28 speaks about Lucifer, but in 26 verse 20, when I shall bring thee down with them that descend into the pit with the people of old time, and shall set thee in the low parts of the earth, in the places desolate of old with them that go down to the pit, that thou be not inhabited, and I shall set glory in the land of the living. I will make thee a terror, and thou shalt be no more. There is a prince, a ruler that we just read about, the destroyer. Like I say, doing what they do best, destruction. Of course, when they unlock this, there is an actual door, a gate. I don't know where it is. We're not told where it is, but the key was given to one and it was unlocked. Go back there and read that. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of it. I guess the best way to describe it, they've been in there thousands of years. They're out to destroy all that they can. We read of the underworld, as we call it, Sheol. In the 16th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, there were a great gulf between the righteous and the wicked. Now, the righteous side is is vacant now. Christ took them up on high. We read in the book of Ephesians. But the wicked side, lost, it's still there. What are these creatures? Demons? Well, all we can say is they're creatures just like what Scripture tells us that they are. We think about what Judas, the son of perdition, he was given powers being one of the apostles. I don't know what all he retained, but he went to his own place, Scriptures tell us. He's right down there with them. They want to get out and do destruction. Have they been in hell for thousands of years, preparing for this occasion? Very possibly. But one thing about it, they don't repent. They go back to being the destroyer. Only God can grant repentance. Is this not a picture of hell? Demons to torment, darkness all around. Absence of God, no kindness, no mercy, no love, pain. That's what they're out to do, is hurt and destroy. Harm all that they can. Getting back to Revelation chapter 9, like I've said, it's kind of hard to want to teach through it, but it's end times. We plan on being at the Lord's, the judgment seat of Christ. One third of the remaining population is killed by these creatures that we just read about. They breathe smoke and fire, issue brimstone. A lot of things can be said about them. Anyway, the emphasis here is on what comes out of the pit. Revelation chapter 20 tells us about a great chain that's going to bind the wicked in 1,000 years. Is that literal? Yes, it has to be literal. Anyway, I'm out of time. I really don't need to go any farther. We'll take up there, Lord willing, where we left off next time we meet.